So what I'm going to do is just read this to you guys, and then we'll talk about it. Sound good? All right. So he calls this plate theory. I call it dating non-exclusively, just so that people can understand, have an idea of what it's about. Plate theory is the idea of splitting plates, and he'll talk about it, but it's basically dating non-exclusively. So he starts off, and then it divides it into five sections. And the first section we're covering is abundance and scarcity. But just something to think about, okay, Daniel?
Well, I disagree with most things you're saying, so I just agree on a couple of things. One, because I'm a professor of strategy, so I know by analogy to the business world and the competition between rivals, right, in the economy, in the business, in the corporate world, that what you are talking about fundamentally is the what is called bargaining power. The relationship between two parties and the need that one party has of the other. And the one which has the least need is the most powerful. It's exactly what you said. So it works to it is true to a certain extent, and I agree with
Hi,
you the
honey.
fact that you were saying that weak people, weak men are not appreciated by women. This is absolutely true, right? But you have a vision of a relationship which is not mine. You cannot have a relationship only based on economics concept of like power. But what about love? What about attachment? What about the selection that a man and a woman do because they think that this partner is probably the best partner for them? It's how women select men. Not because they are rich, not because they are dating 10 other women. Not, no, it's because they think that it corresponds to what they're looking for. So I disagree with most of what you said. And ask women, what do they think? We have women here. Ask them, what do they think
Well,
of it? Would they do the same thing?
they do the same thing. And the question
Right.
is, we don't really listen to what women say because their behavior and what they say are two different matters. And that's what behavioralism is about. And that's what evolutionary psychology is about. So what I would encourage you to do is look into evolutionary psychology, and see, because you'll find a lot of things you agree with in evolutionary psychology about why a woman looks for a man, why a man looks for a woman, and all of that stuff. And this is all evolved psychology, and it's all and it, you've just got to have that experience. I mean, I think if you think that a woman respects you for committing to her, you're wrong.
I disagree with
Yeah,
that.
but you're wrong. All right,
Yeah.
let's go to Matthew now.
Hi.
Hi, Matthew. How you doing?
Matt, how you doing? I understand what you're saying, and I think what people miss, what women can misinterpret, is that you're a player, and the reason you want to do this is because you just want to have sex with as many women as possible. And at least for me, I'll speak for myself, that would not be my motivation. I'm 67. I was married for 30 years. I was exclusive with my wife. I never cheated on her. We ended up the last 5 years not so much as a handshake. I mean, literally, not so much as a handshake. But I was not going to disrespect my children by cheating on my wife. So now that I'm divorced, my approach is going to be completely different. I'm trying to take the ethical approach and being upfront with someone saying, look, I only have X number of years left. If I date you exclusively for a year and then we don't, it doesn't work out, I've just lost 10% of my remaining lifespan.
Yeah.
And the clock is ticking. I cannot statistically find a woman with whom I'm going to be compatible if I do it on a serial basis. I have to do it on a parallel basis. I'm not trying to be a player. I don't want to have sex with with strange women every day. My relationship it prospers when you get to know each other. That's when it really becomes enjoyable. There's no pleasure in a one-night stand to me, but I don't want to make an exclusive commitment to a woman until I know this is someone with whom I want to be. I've been with X number of women, and only 2% of those would I say I was really compatible with. And even those two, in looking back, I would say we probably would end up divorced also. So if 2% of the women who I date have potential for being compatible, then with X, I'm 67. What am I? I'll live to be 85, maybe statistically. I got to get the ball rolling here, and I can't do it on a one-on-one basis like this. And you have to explain to the woman, it's to her advantage too. Do you want to have a happy relationship? If you do, isn't it to both our interests that we have a relationship where we're both compatible? Do you want to be as miserable as I was or as I am? And that's what I said to my wife after 30 years. I'm miserable. You're miserable. Do you want to continue like this? And we both said no. And I said, great, very good. We shook hands. It was very amicable. And we went our own ways. So this thing about, you know, power and looking for younger women to take advantage of, I don't want to date younger women. I have nothing in common with them. I'm going to date someone in their 20s. I don't even know what the Vietnam War was. What are we going to talk about? I want to date someone my own age who has the same attitude that there's no need to be exclusive at this age. I'm not. There's. I developed actually a protocol with my doctor from a STD standpoint. I thought, what would I really have to do if I were dating multiple women to protect myself and them from disease? And we developed a protocol. Now, I can't say I put it to any great use, but at least I have the protocol. So I'm taking the approach from a very scientific standpoint. I have a science background, and I'm looking at it in that way. And I think it's the both parties' advantage that I want to be happy. Don't you want to be happy? So let us shop around with the remaining time that we have until we find a partner with whom we are compatible.
So you know, there's two things you said. Right. I think that's great. And I went through something similar in that idea of, hey, you know, look, how much do you really know a woman? Can you really commit to that woman? You know, for me, look, I'm not committing until you're ready to commit to me. When you're ready to commit to me till, you know, till death in a marriage-like commitment. I mean, because I'm not jumping on one relationship and go for a little while and then have it fall off. I want to know if I'm going to get married or if I'm going to have a relationship with a woman, that woman actually thinks that actually will be good for me and that we'll get along and that we know each other. To jump into a committed relationship, you know, in the first month, the first year, even maybe after the first year, you hardly even know each other. You're just jumping into a relationship to have sex. And then another thing that you said, having sex with younger
women. Sometimes I just wish I could cut it off, and then I won't have to deal with this nonsense. Right. It's just not that important.
Yeah, well, you don't want to cut it off. I don't recommend that, okay? You don't want to definitely not do that. But
one little trick is to say, I'm never getting married. And if I did, I believe in generational wealth. When I die, I am leaving 100% of my assets to my children in an irrevocable trust. Do you still want to get married? Usually they hang up the phone.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Very interesting. But, you know, calling men players, don't be surprised how viciously women will attack this. Okay. We're not players per se, but you have to be a player. You have to play. They're playing a game. They got big time game. They're testing you, you know, like I have a woman here, you know, and I know that she's not responding to my text right away because she wants to see if I'm going to double text. You know, they're testing us all the time. You know, don't commit to a woman too early. Make sure that woman is right. She's made no commitment to you. There's no commitment there. Oh, I'm just going to have sex with you. That's not a commitment. That's just let's have sex for the time being. Let's just have sex with each other, you know, and then we try out this relationship, you know. And, you know, the one guy at a time, that kills us, you know. And then the other thing was players, right? Man, they'll attack you. Yeah, you're a player. You're just a player. I mean, on and on and on. You know, and I had this woman, another friend of mine, you know, was telling me that, and I was saying, I brought up this example of this guy you know, who made that sort of thing. He wanted to pursue one, and he didn't feel having a relationship with another was appropriate. Result, he lost both. And I did that too. I made that mistake once. Don't ever make that mistake. You know, just because you're interested in one woman doesn't mean you should give up all your options to pursue one. Because why not? Because the woman you say, hey, I'm pursuing another woman, stay there, I'll come back to you. She's not taking you back. After you've made her number two, she's not taking you
As
back.
long as you're upfront about it, you're honest. I mean, I believe in ethics. I would never tell a woman that I'm being exclusive and then not do so. I am 100% in favor of, and I would do ethically say, listen, I'm not going to be exclusive with you, and I don't expect it of you being exclusive with me until we both agree that is to our mutual benefit, that you are what I really want, and anyone else who I've been with is not giving me what I want. So now I'm willing to commit, but yeah, that takes time. That takes, and then you can't, there's no shortcuts. It takes time to determine whether that person is going to be what you want long term. Had I done that 30 years ago, maybe I wouldn't have gotten divorced. I didn't want to get divorced at 60 years old. You know, I'm
Great
living in a
divorce,
one
yeah.
bedroom, living in a one bedroom apartment like I did in college. You think this is what I wanted at 67? But,
Yeah,
you
you
know,
know.
if I had been a little bit wiser back then, I might have, may not be in this situation.
Yeah, you know, I had this old guy, 72, tell me, you know, this idea that women want to go off, they want to be there together till the end and so forth is bullshit. That was the promise they made to their ex-husband, you know. So women will. You know, women would jump off and take off if they get bored, or if they don't expect to get anything more from you, or if they're just finished with you, you know. So, you know, this is
I
kind
would
of
like to hear
harsh.
if there is apparently one woman here. I don't know if that's if it's real.
Well,
Could
you
be.
know, she's already told me I'm an ass in the chat, so I'm not gonna
Okay.
pull her up, you know. But I understand the feeling that she has, you know, because hey, you know, women want to be the ones in control of the relationship, and they want men to conform to their constructs, to their format. And
Maybe
but
unfair to say all women. I mean, to be
no,
fair,
yeah, I
not
shouldn't say
all
all
women are
women.
this way, and that, you know, and that, and there are men who look to take advantage, you know, who are doing it just for sexual gratification. So there's unfairness on both sides, but
But
I
you
can
know,
only speak
they
for
say
myself.
that, don't say all. You know, they say that, don't say all. And I agree with that. But at the same time, I think we might get into this problem of, oh, there's this good woman and this bad woman. And because there are a lot of bad women, it's just up to us to choose the right woman. In other words, what about those other women? Are they right to do that? Are they right? Is it they correct to do whatever they do? You know, it's, and let me see if I can get back to this. In other words, well, I lost that thought. I'm sorry. But the main
Okay.
point here is that I think you mentioned ethical non-monogamy, right?
Right. That's
And
what this first of.
yeah, so, and my thought about that is, look, they're trying to redefine monogamy on us. There's a lot of change going on right now. Okay, now women make just as much money as men. Now they have a measure, and they probably do have equality with men. They're going to be making more money than men because men are dropping out. Men are bailing. They're not going to college or anything like that. And part of the reason has to do with what's going on in the sexual marketplace and in dating. In fact, that's a big reason why men are dropping out, because they don't see any prospects for a future with a woman. If they don't have any prospects for a future with a woman, what are they living for? But I think this, I think what it is that we need to make sure that we don't just give up the game right up in front. We need to get game, first of all, and we need to be able to play. And we need to be able to understand women's dark, hypergamous nature and understand what's going on in their minds, and not just accept what they tell us, and not just sort of accept these social constructs. And when you talk about they're trying to make monogamy into this, oh, dating, they're trying to equate non-monogamy with dating non-exclusively, is what they're trying to do. It, like, dating is just dating. You always date non-exclusively. I mean, you don't just date one. I mean, if you go out with, if you ask, you're asking one girl out, she may say yes, she may say no. You ask another girl out, she may say yes, she may say no. You, when you ask her and she says yes, you take her out, right? You know, and maybe she'll go on a second date, maybe you won't, but you'll have to ask another woman now, you know, to get to the second date. So you're continually asking women out just to get dates, period, just to get a date, number one. And then if you're lucky, you can get two dates, right? So that's what you're doing. You're going out and asking women out. That is exactly non-exclusivity, you know, because you haven't found that person. You may date that person once, you know, but you may have a date with another person the next week. That's dating. That's not non-monogamy. That's just dating. That's what being single is. You know, it's not non-monogamy, okay? Non-monogamy is lifelong partnerships. It's not only sex, one and one. That's not monogamy. Monogamy is lifelong partnership. So if, yeah, so this is, yeah, well, so they're not.
I guess you can ask the woman if she's not a virgin, say, are you a virgin? If you're, or if you're not right. A virgin, then I guess you don't believe in monogamy.
Well, but the point is that you make that commitment, right? You make that commitment to be with each other at some point. Obviously, we're dating. We're trying to find, you know, the right person. We're not necessarily monogamous. But the point is, that's dating. Is it really non-monogamy and that some people are monogamous and other people are non-monogamous? No, there are people who are dating and there are people who are going to study. That's what it is. It's not, you know.
Yeah. So, I'd like to hear some other people's input, though. I don't want to hog the conversation here.
Well, yeah, sometimes hogging the conversation is keeping the conversation going. So, would somebody else like to speak up? Raise your hand. It doesn't matter whether it's females or welcome. I know people don't like hearing this, but hey, some people don't like hearing this, but hey, all we're doing is dating. That's it. We're just dating. And if we choose to have sex with the person we're dating, so can you. And you do. And even if you don't, you reserve the right to. So how is that any different from me dating another woman who I may or may not have sex with, but I certainly reserve the right to? You know, it's my life. If I date a woman, I want to have sex with her, I'm going to. If a woman wants to date a guy and she wants to have sex with him, she's going to do that. You know, and nobody should come in and say, no, you shouldn't have sex with a man. You know, although women would try and do that a lot. But you know,
I think it confuses me. One of the Ten Commandments. It says everyone violates one of Ten Commandments. Let's just get rid of, you know, thou shalt not commit adultery. Why don't we just strike that? Make it the Nine Commandments. Because 50% of people are cheating anyway.
Right. But yeah, that's true. But there's Clinton. Yeah. Well, okay. I was gonna say to that. I was gonna say something. I forgot.
Interesting conversation.
Let me fill you in here. Okay, good.
Yeah, interesting conversation. I got a question, but first, my first comment is adultery is only between when somebody is married, and the other person can be married or not married, and the only person who is committing adultery is the person who's married. The person who's not married is not committing adultery. And if neither person is married, neither of them is committing adultery. So that's a little freeing. Very interesting conversation. I'm getting the point, both points. My question is, at what point in a relationship does it evolve? Seems to me it has to evolve from what you're talking about, Richard, to what you're talking about, or what's been talked about by Daniel. In other words, you're spinning plates and lots of opportunities, and I agree with all that's going on. At some point, I think you have to progress to what Daniel's talking about attachment and feelings of love and so forth. Or you're just going to be spinning plates all, you know, for the rest of your life. And so I'm just curious how that all works. And how you know that, estimated time frames, or what you think about that concept.
Well, I think that before you make an exclusive commitment to a woman, you should date her for 1 to 2 years. Because to me, when you make an exclusive relationship, you're basically giving it all up. You know, that's what you don't realize. You're giving it all up. You might as well be married. Woman's not giving it all up, right? She could still, she could attract guys without having sex. She will be asked out on dates. You will not, okay? She should have guys she's talking to on the phone, guys who are hitting up on who she has relationships with on social media, you know. She got backup plans. She's got these other guys. So she's playing a lot of guys at the same time. And so for me, I think, is that right now I'm here in Honduras. And one reason I'm here in Honduras is to see my father, who is very ill and is being cared for here. My brother has connections here. His wife is from here. But when I came out last time, I met this woman, beautiful woman. And we spent some time together. So, you know, we spent like 3 days together, but it would have been inappropriate and silly for me to expect that we would be exclusive after spending 3 days together. You know, it would be foolish of me to think that. And so she knew I was going to continue dating, and I knew she was going to continue dating. And that's one thing we fear, that if women, we think we can lock them up. But remember, she's not yours. It's only your turn. We can't lock these women in. So I'm here, but she's in Honduras. So what will I need to do to have, if I want to have a relationship with her, is to get married, right? If I wanted to move her back into the United States with me, I would have to get married, right? So that's on the table. And so, but do I want to jump into it right away? Absolutely not. Because, you know, you don't just get married. You know, marriage is a commitment. You know, you got to know the woman. You should probably, you know, live with the woman for a while, I would think, before you get married, to find out whether you're compatible and you're going to enjoy each other. You know, so, and being so far away prolongs this. You know, we only see each other every few months, you know, but we communicate somewhat regularly. But there's an advantage to it, because actually, one, you don't put your foot in your mouth too much when you have to communicate, you know, you can, and distance makes the heart grow fonder. You know, relationships can go through pretty quickly here, but this one takes a little longer. So, which is both beneficial and a setback. So I'm obviously thinking about that. I've got two other women who each have their certain problems, but I'm sure one, I think, would be great, but there's an issue. And then the other, I don't think would be great, but what the heck. And so my idea is, don't commit to a woman until you've dated her for at least a year to determine whether or not you actually want to be in a committed relationship with this woman, and whether she actually wants to be in a committed relationship with you, and actually whether you're compatible and whether you'll make it or not. You know, and so I'm not saying marriage is off the table, although it's very risky. You better get a prenup, and a lot of them fail. But I've what I heard watching this lawyer say, if it works, whatever you get is so great, you should do it. If you're successful, it's like a lottery ticket with a big prize. Chances aren't very good it's going to succeed, but if it does, the prize is so great, you should do it. Just like Matthew said, look, I want to get married. I want to have a committed relationship before 70. That's what I thought. Now, I guess it's a 70 guy. He's out there playing the field. I guess he can do it. And maybe that's the healthier way to do it, because you just get ground up into a meat grinder, you know, if you let these women play you. And so she, yeah, so I'm not going to just commit to one woman and then, like Matthew said, go down a number of years and then find out that it's not going to work out, and then do what is called serial monogamy. Now, is serial monogamy really better than non-monogamy or non-exclusive dating? I don't think so. Okay. I don't think serial monogamy is any better. I think it's worse. It's definitely worse for men, because we just get thrown out and then we have to start all over again. date multiple women and start to see what's out there, because there's a lot of crap out there. And if you don't date multiple women, you're not going to realize, hey, that one's real crappy. You know, you're going to get into a relationship, and then down the line, you're going to go, hey, this is a narcissist. Why am I with a narcissist? Or this one's really treating me like shit. Or this one's looking at other guys. You know, why am I committed to that? You know, no, you don't have to do that. And believe me, when you're dating non-exclusive, they'll chase you. They'll call you. And make sure you find women who want to have sex with you. Don't go without that, because you don't want that other person holding. Why do you want a woman holding sex over your head? You know, I got the power. I can control. I'm the one who you only access to sex right here, buddy. You know? You know? And every woman might say, oh, you want to have sex? Why don't you go to a prostitute? Oh, I get so angry. You know? Give me your name. I'll give it to them so you can get your referral fee. You know, so, you know, why would they ever tell a man to do that? It's so silly. And so, yeah, so I think, yes, as far as a committed relationship, it's possible for me. It's possible. This beautiful woman here in Honduras, if she's a good woman, and let me not say a good woman, because there's not no good women or bad women. This is the problem with this idea of, oh, not all women. Because it's that not all women that excuses most women or many women. It's not an excuse. Not all women is not an excuse. It's as if we have to pick between the good women and the bad women. And that's the feminine sort of mystique or feminine construct that has been posted upon us. And I think it's better to make sure that you know who you're getting in and see what's going on, because you got to find someone, you got to be able to compare, you know, these women to others. You got to be able to know, because, I mean, there's a lot of trash out. There's a lot of garbage. There's a lot of manipulation, the lying, gaslighting. I mean, you know, you can, like you said, 2%, right? 2% of the women you might want to date, right? Only 2%. You know, so don't jump into a relationship, you know, too early. I mean, you know, there's one guy thought, like an employer, like Daniel is in business strategy. Oh, Samuel, I'm going to get to you right now, Samuel. Hire slowly, fire fast. So take your time. Hire slowly. You want to make sure this candidate is a good candidate. Okay. And once they show you that they don't have the integrity or qualities that are necessary to be successful, then get rid of them. You know, and you'll find a lot of women will show you that to you right away. Right away, you'll know they're not for you. So, thank you, Clayton. Thank you, You're Clayton, welcome. For showing up.
Thanks, Richard.
Well, he's gone. Let's say this president who ordered the military to stage a coup. He's no longer president. He wasn't impeached. He couldn't be impeached. But he ordered the military to stage a coup, and you're saying that's an official act.
I think it would depend.
That's immune.
I think it would depend on the circumstances whether it was an official act. If it were an official act, again, he would have to be impeached.
What does that mean, depend on the circumstances? He was the president. He is the commander-in-chief. He talks to his generals all the time, and he told the generals, I don't feel like leaving office. I want to stage a coup. Is that immune?
If it's an official act, there needs to be impeachment and conviction beforehand, because the framers viewed that kind of
if
very
it's an
low
official
risk.
Act, is it an official act?
If it's an official act, it's impeachment.
Is it an official act?
On the way you've described that hypothetical, it could well be. I just don't know. You'd have to, again, it's a fact-specific, context-specific determination.
That answer sounds to me as though it's like, yeah, under my test, it's an official act, but that sure sounds bad, doesn't it?